Hello and welcome to my dental hygiene school experience. My name is Dax Ska, and each episode I'm going to share my own experience of dental hygiene school. The highs, the lows, the funny, and the real. Thank you for joining me on my journey, and here's another episode right now. What's up, dental nerds? This is Dax Ska, dental assistant, dental hygiene student, and future hygienist. And welcome to my dental hygiene school experience. This is the number one show in dental hygiene school podcasts. Okay, I just made that up, but I still think it's worth mentioning. Anyway, this is episode 22. And first of all, I just want to express my appreciation to my listeners. I'm very grateful for every single one of you. Shout out to Kayla. Kayla is one of my amazing classmates. And hey, Kayla, thank you for listening. And yeah, I've been doing this for over a year now, so I don't know, and I always like to be thankful for everyone who's listening. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about what I learned in my first year of dental hygiene school and just share some stuff. So why don't I just jump right into it? Alright, so let's talk about what I learned in my first year of dental hygiene school. And why don't we just jump right into it? Number one, you have to learn how to learn the class. And what I mean by that is, each class you have to take a different approach. And while that may seem obvious that you need to do that, I think there's some level of thinking, some way of thinking that your mind has to find, you know, get into your groove for a certain class. So the way you approach your perio class is going to be completely different than the way you approach your head and neck anatomy class. And I noticed that in first semester, the classes were pretty basic. I don't want to say basic, actually. We had a lot of prereq classes, so some of the stuff I had already learned about before, so you kind of already know the stuff, and learning a bit more is just adding on to what you already know. But when you're learning classes where you don't have prior knowledge, even as a dental assistant, like perio, a lot of dental assistants don't know the deep knowledge of perio that a dental hygienist would. And that's not their fault, it's just that we're not taught it in school, and even if you work with a dentist that does perio, I feel like you don't get as much knowledge as you would as a dental hygienist. Anyway, so you have to find your groove. And I know for me, when I was in head and neck anatomy, it took me a few weeks, probably like 3 or 4 weeks, really, to find my groove in that class. I just know, like, I was tired from semester one, so jumping into semester two right away, I wasn't very motivated to learn anything new, which is kind of silly because, I mean, it's 2 years of nonstop learning, so should be expected. And I think also because I just taken anatomy and physiology, which focuses on the whole body, I thought that a lot of that would be building on what I already learned. And I didn't really find that to be the case because you're getting a lot more detailed, focusing on a much smaller region. And I thought I could just skate on the information I already learned. But anyway, once I found my groove, the class was much easier. And then again, going into semester three, there was a few classes where it took me a while to find my groove. But the thing is, I passed the classes. And I mean, there's a journey that happens with each class, but you get there. So I think the most important thing is never giving up. But you have to learn how to learn the class. So you just have to take a step back when you start the semester and realize that you're going to have to take a different approach for each class. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Number two, you can be good in theory, but practical skills may be challenging, or vice versa. So what I mean by that is you can learn all the knowledge about one thing, but then when it comes to applying your skills to clinic, let's say, it can be challenging. And, Yeah, the thought of it may be overwhelming because you're like, oh, this is like real time. You're not studying yet to put back on a test or to answer questions on a test. This is actually doing it. So, give yourself a break because it takes time. You may be more naturally gifted in one area, but that doesn't mean you're not going to be struggling in another area. So you kind of have to allow the different parts of your knowledge to catch up and your skills to catch up. And the reason why you are in school is to learn all this information, all these skills, because if you already knew it, you wouldn't be in school. So there you go. Let me move on to the next one. Something I noticed about clinic is that when you see patients, your main priority isn't really patient care. I feel like when you work in the dental field, it definitely is, and I've experienced that for myself. But I feel like in my situation at my school, I'm required to find my own patients. And I have a certain number of requirements to meet each semester. So if a patient doesn't meet those requirements for me, I'm not really motivated to help them. However, you are still required to make sure the patient gets care. So, because that could count as patient abandonment, and that's a very real thing that some offices do out there. But because we're in a school, I almost feel like there's a higher requirement or higher standard. And so, of course, because we don't want to be those people that go out in the world and, are responsible for patient abandonment, our school makes sure that we follow those rules. So, what happens if you have a patient that doesn't help you meet your requirements? I know for my school, we had to kind of go through the first initial part where we were able to classify them. And I mean, sometimes that can be two or three appointments, depending on how quickly you can go and how difficult the case is. But if you get to a certain point and you're able to get it signed off that they qualify as a certain category, then you are able to pass them off to another patient, or sorry, another student or classmate that will benefit them. And quite often you do trades back and forth. So, hey, if I can get my sealant requirement, then maybe you can help me with one of your patients to get my mod requirement. So a moderate amount of calculus. And there's very specific requirements for that they talk about in school. Anyway, so that is something that's very important. But it's not about patient care. It will be when you get out of school. Next one. So just because you fail a quiz, assignment, or exam, it does not mean it's the end of the class or the end of the semester. And even if you don't pass the class, it doesn't mean it's the end of your hygiene school journey. And it can be tough when you're near the end of the semester or your quarter, depending on your school. If you get a quiz or some sort of grade back and it's not passing, that can be stressful. But you know what? You can come back from it. And yes, I did say quiz, assignment, or exam, but I also said the class. And so let me talk about that. This is part of the reason why I'm doing this. You may be wondering why this is one of the things that I learned in semester three. Well, I do have something to share. When I started this podcast, I said I was going to be sharing many things, including the highs, the lows, the funny, and the real. So I guess this would fall under the category of real. So here we go. Although I passed all of my classes in semester three, I didn't get all my clinical requirements. So when you're in clinic, I've said this before, you have a list of requirements that you need to be, or they need to be completed by the end of the semester. So for my requirements, I was about three short. And I feel like, I mean, one or two of them probably could have been done. They were small requirements, but I was trying to focus on my bigger requirement. But anyway, let me just kind of give the quick story. So I and this happened to me a few months ago. I think it was probably about 4, 5 months ago, something like that. So I've had time to process this and reflect on what has happened. But first of all, being in my first semester that I'm actually seeing patients, I had trouble settling into the seeing patients. And I know that, being a dental assistant, I should be more comfortable with it, but this is also in a different capacity. But I have spoke about this before, how clinic is, it's not easy, you know? That's the long and the short of it. So, because I didn't get re my requirements, I was told I cannot move on to semester four. And to be honest, it was devastating. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that. It kind of makes me think of if you've ever watched a cooking show where they're competing against each other and the stakes are really high. And one of the competitors gets eliminated, like you're down to the top two, like you're so close, and then they call someone else's name and you're not the winner. And I've seen people when they leave, they're almost in tears or, just a lot of emotions running high. I understand that now. I understand that when you put so much of yourself into something and you lose, you feel shattered. And yeah, I mean that's really how I felt. And the toughest part, I think, was when I so basically I had my clinic session, and this was the last day of the semester, and I basically knew before I even talked to any of the instructors that I was not passing that semester. So fast forward about an hour after the clinic, I had a final exam to prepare for in Perio. And so I just remember, like, I was at my desk and trying to study, but I had tears literally rolling down my face as I'm trying to focus on this exam that, I mean, that was one of the classes that was really hard. And to have this distraction made it even tougher. Thankfully, I did pass the class on Perio. But the clinical requirements are so important too. Like, it basically counts as another class. And if you don't pass it, you don't pass the semester. So all your classes, all your momentum stop. So, that's kind of, you just kind of feel left with nothing left to move forward towards. So it's a very strange feeling, I'll be honest. Like, you just kind of don't know what to do. But anyway, what does this mean for me? Because I didn't pass semester three? Well, so at the end of semester three, we knew that there was one spot open in the next cohort. But there are two other classmates in my cohort going for that spot. So there's three of us competing for one spot. Now, I've said this before, but my classmates, they're all awesome, like every single one of them. And it was kind of a weird situation because, I mean, these people are my friends and we're basically competing for this spot, and I don't want to be like, oh, I hope they don't get it. I mean, I hope I get it, and so it's just a weird place to be in. But we each had to meet with the campus president and tell him why we should get that spot. And so when I met with the campus president, I had to explain what went wrong and what I would do differently given the opportunity. Well, I mean, the meeting was kind of a, it was another strange experience because basically all they wanted to focus on was what went wrong. And, I felt like I stayed at that point. I wanted to focus on what I was going to do better. So it was a really tough meeting. And I had a chance to speak with my other classmates that were also competing for the spot, and they're like, how did yours go? And it's like, it didn't go that great. And they're like, yeah, mine didn't go great either. So we're all kind of in the same boat. Well, the long and the short of it is I didn't get the spot. But the student who did get that spot, I just sent him a message and I said, hey, I'm happy for you and make us proud, So at this point, I'm just waiting for an open spot so I can retake semester three. Luckily, I only have to do clinic. I passed all my classes, so I don't have to do any of that other stuff. So, talking about my feelings, I mean, dealing with my feelings was definitely a process. And if you've ever experienced not passing a class or, the feeling of failure, it's a really tough feeling to deal with. And I'll be honest, I felt depressed for a bit. And because I wasn't in school, I mean, I had to go get a job. And this is like a whole nother journey besides school. I applied for several jobs. And because of my resume, it did show that I was going to hygiene school. The way employers saw it was someone who was not a long-term employee. So there's a lot of jobs I applied to. I didn't even get interviews. I just got notices of rejection. So, I mean, that kind of, I'm already down, and it's not, now I'm being kicked when I'm down. So, yeah, that was tough. But I'll tell you this, I finally got an interview with an office, and I was able to find someone who was aware of my situation, and they were completely okay with it. They were aware that, yes, I may only be working here for maybe a year, but they're okay with it. And I was completely transparent about going back to school, and they're, it's open communication is very important. But anyway, with that interview, I actually got the job. And it's a good feeling, after, especially after all that rejection, from school and then from all those jobs that I applied to, which I'm qualified for sure. That wasn't the issue. It's just, offices are like, we don't want to hire someone just for them to leave and we have to go hire someone again. I was looking for a job when I was on my job hunt, where I could use the information that I learned in my first year of hygiene school. I mean, it makes sense. You want to keep the information fresh. However, I ended up in an endodontic office. And if you're not too familiar with the dental field, there's very little crossover. It's root canals all day, every day. And honestly, as a dental assistant, I got away with not learning hardly anything about endo. Now, I have to learn everything about it. So, in my first month and a half, probably 2 months, there was a lot of learning, and I basically felt like I was in school again. So, definitely working my brain. But it's keeping my mind sharp, so that's good. And my coworkers and the doctors that I work for, they're so awesome. I've been there about 4 months now, and I feel like I'm still learning every day, but they make it a little easier. Shout out to my office there if y'all listening. Anyway, what I really want to share today is that this isn't the end of the road. And if you've experienced a grade that's not passing, don't give up, you can bounce back from it, and maybe it's in a class, maybe it's a semester, but it's something you can go back to. And I know it's easy to say, but if you've made it this far, I encourage you to keep going. When I realized that I wasn't moving into semester four, I felt like my whole world was coming to a stop. So, it's hard not to feel that way when your whole life is hygiene school and only a small sliver dedicated to everything else in your life. So, I definitely understand what you're going through if you've experienced that. But it's not the end. Just remember that this doesn't define you as a person. And I know that sounds cliche, but not passing a class doesn't mean failure. If you have a passion for the dental field, don't let this setback stop you from reaching a goal. And here's what I think about. I may be out of school right now, but that does not mean I'm out of the program. And my journey will continue, and I will see my graduation day where I will collect that diploma. And when I do that, it will mean so much more because I had to fight my way to get there. After 1 year of hygiene school, I've noticed changes in myself too. Hygiene school isn't just about learning knowledge and developing skills, it's also a journey that helps you grow as a person. So, for me, I use my critical thinking skills way more than I ever did before. And not just in a dental setting. When I'm talking with people or watching TV or listening to a podcast, in the back of my mind, I'm analyzing what they say, and I definitely notice when they say something that's different or something different than what I've been taught before, really. And I don't always accept things at face value, and I don't automatically reject ideas either if it doesn't line up with the previous knowledge that I have. But I do want to emphasize that for me, I don't consider this failure. This may be a small thing, but simply putting that I didn't pass as opposed to failing is how I'm wording it. So I if you're listening to what I'm saying, I'm not saying I failed. I failed. No. I just didn't pass. So, I didn't pass, but that doesn't mean there won't be other opportunities. And yes, it sucks that I'll no longer be with my cohort and that my graduation date will be at least a year later than I was planning. And I'll even have to pay more in tuition. There are so many negatives that I could easily think of, but really, my goal has never changed. I'm still going to graduate, I'm still going to become a dental hygienist, but right now, I'm on a little detour. And the office I'm working in now is just awesome. I'm learning new things and it's still helping me toward my goal. And during this time, I'm slowly reviewing the information from lectures from my first 3 semesters. I want the information to stay fresh because when I'm back seeing patients, I will be expected to know that all the information like I mastered it yesterday, like I'm an expert. It can be tedious because I don't have a lot of free time even though I'm out of school, and it doesn't seem all that relevant to my life at the moment. But I also like that I want to keep my mind in learning mode. Or I also feel like I want to keep my mind in learning mode. And also, since my life isn't consumed with school right now, I'm taking the time to focus on things I wasn't able to in school before. So I'm taking time to see family and friends, as well as focus on hobbies, doing some more podcasts, obviously, and whatever else I didn't have time for before. So you're probably wondering, what about the podcast? I mean, I was giving weekly updates for a while on what's going on in school. So if I'm not in school, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to keep the podcast going for sure. I'm still going to share dental content. I have a few ideas in the back of my head, but I want to keep things related to dental hygiene. So it's not going to be dental hygiene school, but it'll be stuff kind of related to that in the dental field. But it also gives me an idea thinking about this. What do you want to hear about? As a listener, what do you want me to talk about? I'm going to put up a post on my Instagram asking for your input. You can reply to the post or you can even send me a private message. And in case you're not following me on Instagram, my handle is at DACHSKA dot dental. And I'll put that in the show notes. Daxka.dental. All right. Well, I want to thank you all for listening. This has been probably my most real episode so far. But I still want you to keep it real. Until next time, I'm Dax Gaw, and you've been listening to my Dental Hygiene School Experience. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review. It is so helpful to get this podcast out there and to be seen by more people. Another way to support the podcast is to share this episode with someone who just started hygiene school or is considering it. Either way is helpful. As well, I'm going to leave a link in the show notes that allows you to leave me a voicemail. I would love to hear from you, and you can ask me a question or if you just want to comment about the podcast. That would be great. I might even share it on a future episode. Thank you so much, dental nerds. Until next time, I'm Dax Scott.